The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, this is Eddie Schumard, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and this is another Summer of Food student leader profile. I spoke with Kelsey Brewer of Feeding Crane Farms about his Summer of Food out in Sacramento, California.
My name is Kelsey Brewer. I work at Feeding Crane Farms in Sacramento, California.
What do you do at Feeding Crane Farms?
I'm the farm manager and lead farmer, so I oversee the planting, the irrigation, the infrastructure setup, fertilization, the general overarching, procedure on the farm.
Right on. So for our Summer of Food program, highlighting student leaders from across the country who are spending their summers in food, drink, agriculture, sustainable ranching. So what is your Summer of Food?
Working at Feeding Crane Farms is a permanent position for me, but I have the benefit during the school year, obviously. I'm going to school full-time, so I'm working only part-time at Feeding Crane Farms, about 25 hours a week while going to school. But during the summer, I have the opportunity to come and work full-time on the farm, which is great because it's definitely one of the most time-demanding parts of the year for us. So my Summer of Food, I would say, would be working on a sustainable farm, trying to promote relationships between us as a farm and directly to our consumer, whether it be farmers markets, community-supported agriculture, or direct sales to restaurants and grocery stores.
So you mentioned you're in school. Where are you going to school and what are you studying?
I go to Sacramento City College, and I study plant biology with an emphasis in edible crop production.
So how did you get into that program? Was that something you were interested in as a child? Did you come from a farming family? How did you find your way to agriculture?
Well, I don't come from a farming family per se. I do come from an agricultural area in California. I come from Amador County, which is a small rural community in the Sierra Nevada foothills here in California. We do a lot of beef, a pretty large wine production, and some small-scale organic farming as well. I didn't actually initially feel that when I graduated high school that I was going to go directly into agriculture. I actually studied Arabic and Middle Eastern studies for a couple of years in school, and during that time, I was working on the student farm over at UC Davis and working with a couple other small sustainable farms, and also I live in the community of Davis, which is just a couple miles outside of Sacramento, and during my time here, I just was kind of inspired by the overall local food community that exists here in Davis, and I got incorporated with it and kind of got inspired to make that more of my career path. That happened about like 3 or 4 years ago now.
So in the last 3 or 4 years, you kind of discovered this hotbed of the food movement in Davis, California, UC Davis. I mean, how much did your perceptions change from, 3 years ago till now? Was there some romanticism in agriculture that got shattered once you got started, or how has your perceptions of agriculture and local food and the food movement changed in the last 4 years?
Well, yeah, it's funny you mention that. Definitely, as a young person looking at agriculture, especially here in California, I'm not sure where it is elsewhere, but it is definitely romanticized. It's definitely glorified, and that's not to say it's not deserved. But oftentimes, myself included, people look at small-scale organic farming, especially that kind of agriculture done by young people, as a kind of romantic back-to-the-land kind of venture, and I definitely looked at it that way. I'd say that the one thing that I still look at it that way. The one thing that you learn when you get into farming is that it ultimately is a lot of work, and there's a really large learning curve to it. You have to be willing to make mistakes and learn from your mistakes. You have to be willing to work really, really hard, really, really long hours. The community is one of the things that really ended up living up to its reputation. The community in farming is just excellent, and we have a great community here in the Sacramento area where our kind of small-scale farms really connect with each other, and kind of we learn from each other and make mistakes together, and that's one of the benefits of it. But definitely, you know, before you go out there and you work the job, I think that there might be a little bit of a misunderstanding about the difficulty of doing it, you know.
Right, from the romantic vision of being the back to the land and, you know, petting
sure,
animals.
Sure, and that's all true. It's definitely true, you know. I mean, like, there is a beauty, a real beauty to going to the land and working the land. And every day I wake up, I'm super excited to go to work, and I'm super happy about what it is I do. And I feel that it's ultimately, you know, going to be a really life-fulfilling occupation for me to do, but definitely you kind of leave out some of the difficulty that comes along with that sometimes.
So that's a good segue. You know, as you know, you move through college and you finish your studies in agriculture and you continue to work at the farm. Is farming something that you see yourself doing into the foreseeable future? Is that a career goal for you? And if so, what kind of relationship will you have with agriculture? Will you have your own farm, work on a farm? Speak to sort of your 5, 10, 20-year plan.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things that it is constantly evolving. As you learn new things and you see new opportunities, you kind of maybe adjust what the possibilities are for yourself. I, in the long term, definitely plan to own my own farm, to work here at Feeding Crane Farms for as long as I can, to learn as much as I can and help build it up as a farm in the community, but also to eventually own my own land and to eventually, work my own land in that sense. It's a real challenge, as I'm sure, you know, you and many of your listeners might know, land is expensive, and it takes a lot of capital to start a farm. And as young people, we kind of sit at a little bit of a disadvantage as far as our ability to be able to make that initial investment in doing that, especially if you don't have the benefit of having a kind of family heritage mm-hmm. of farming. And so ultimately, it is a long-term goal of mine to own a small-scale farm, 25, 50 acres, something that I can do maybe with myself and my family in the future, or myself and very few employees. And the possibility is also open for me to maybe go into agricultural research of some kind, because, you know, my generation will be facing some pretty severe pressures with respect to food, with a growing population and a diminishing supply of land, and a more severe climate. You know, we're definitely going to need some people out there who are able to come up with innovative ideas to produce more food.
Absolutely.
So that's an option for me as well.
So, I mean, you know, you're in school for agriculture and you're a practicing farmer. Do you ever, you know, find yourself reading something in the classroom or discussing something in the classroom and then seeing the complete opposite in the fields? Is there an imbalance between sort of the theory and practice? And then how do you, mitigate that?
Definitely, yeah. First, what I would say is that every farmer has kind of a different belief system with respect to a lot of small intricacies of farming, you know, whether it be spacing between your tomatoes or method of irrigation or pest control management systems. You know, it's definitely, there's many legitimate arguments on a lot of small details with respect to farming. And there have been things that I've heard in the classroom setting that I've gone out and tried and experimented with other things and found that for me, a different method works. And I think ultimately it comes down to really going out and and experiencing and experimenting. And farming is one of those practices that, you know, you can learn everything that there is to know about farming, but until you go out and you do it, you still have a real big learning curve ahead of you, because there is disagreement as far as what kinds of things lead to the best results.
Do you feel like
trying it yourself is always going to be the best method?
Do you feel that you know, maybe perhaps, you know, land grant universities, agricultural programs are still playing catch up? Do you feel sort of like on the ground, you know, young farmers are a bit ahead of the curve in terms of?
Well, you know, it's tough. First off, it depends on what style of agriculture you end up ultimately practicing, because.
So why did you choose? So let's speak on that for a second. Why did you choose the direction that you chose in agriculture? Why not, you know, focus on large scale industrial agriculture, for lack of a better term?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, I think that system of agriculture is not a sustainable system, and ultimately, I believe that having one group of people, one individual, one farmer, whatever it be, own a large swath of land and farm a large swath of land mechanically and with the use of synthetic pesticides and fertilizers is going to ultimately lead to really severe problems in the long run. And the vision that I see of the world with respect to farming and food is one where many young people decide that going to the land and farming and producing on small scales, whether it be 1 acre, whether it be 5, 10, 25, 50, something of a reasonable scale that can be done, and having multiple people do that, I think that's ultimately the food system that I'd like to see in the world, is having a community of farmers who are doing small scales of land and you know, working with each other, building some kind of maybe cooperative group or something of that nature. But, I mean, I have the benefit in my scale of farming to be able to interact with and touch every single plant that goes into the ground. And it's really a night and day difference between the kind of industrial, large-scale monocropping that happens in a lot of the rest of the country, or everywhere, really. And, I mean, yeah, ultimately it's a quality thing, it's a health thing, and it has to do with the treatment of the land and how best that I feel that the future can be sustainable through farming.
You're listening to Sweet Talk by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more Summer of Food.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, the struggles of young farmers in terms of getting the capital, the initial capital investment to purchase land and perhaps some equipment. What other challenges are out there for young farmers, you know, student leaders who are looking to get into agriculture? What do you see as, you know, the biggest challenges today for young farmers and student leaders in the food movement?
Well, you know, the big challenge, I think, ultimately ends up coming down to proper training. Definitely is a huge one. Capital, you know, I know I already emphasized that, but capital, I'd say, ends up being the real obstacle that stands in the way of young farmers being able to go out and do something. You know, a few statistics that I've read, and I won't be able to quote the sources, but the average age of farmers in the United States is over the age of 65, and within the next 10 to 20 years, 80% of farmland will be changing hands because of the sheer age of your average farmer. And so we need young people to decide that growing food and farming and creating a infrastructure for production of food in the future is something that's necessary. And ultimately, I see one of the big challenges, one of the first major challenges I see, is that not a lot of young people necessarily look at farming as a possible career goal for themselves, because farming kind of has this, in some respects and in some social circles, farming has this kind of viewpoint of being a kind of primitive activity, and an activity that is done by non-urban people.
Right.
And I think that a lot of my peers end up looking at farming as a kind of like, why would you work that hard kind of thing? Why would it be worth it to go into farming? And so I think education and experience for a lot of young people seeing what the possibilities of farming are would be a great way to first get people in the door. And after people are interested, at that point, I mean, I honestly believe that it's the responsibility of both the older generation of farmers who want to keep their land in farming and want to help to train the younger generation of farmers. It's a responsibility of theirs to make their land accessible and to make their knowledge accessible. And I think it's also a responsibility of both state and federal governments to make programs available for us in the not-too-distant future that will allow young farmers to be able to transition into owning their own farms.
So do you find that, you know, your personal network, your friends, is there that stigma of farming, or in sort of in general, like from your point of view as a young person in the food movement, you know, as a young farmer, do you see hope in your generation? Do you see more interest in, you know, maybe leaving the office cubicle and having a real life visceral experience on a farm?
Well, ultimately I see both. In you know, passing with when I meet young people, oftentimes I'll tell them, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm a farmer," and I get about a half and half response. Half the people I tell that to kind of give me an "Oh, that's unfortunate," you know, kind of response to the fact that I'm a farmer, because they look at it as hard work and a primitive activity. And then about half the people that I end up telling that to, I think view it either romantically or view it as a really awesome thing to be doing as a young person. And I think that once I started getting involved with agriculture as far as going and actually working out on farms, and a lot of the young people who work with me at Feeding Crane Farms, I mean, we in general are a really young farm, most of us under the age of 40 and the majority of us even under the age of 30. And I look at them and I see how and they inspire me. You know, it really inspires me to see that there are other young people out there who are really dedicated to learning the craft of farming. And I mean,
right.
I think that they're out there.
Yeah, you sort of touched on it a little bit with, you know, the transfer from older farmers to this younger generation of farmers. Do you think it's important for, you know, student leaders and young farmers to reach out to those older farmers and create that sort of intergenerational knowledge transfer where, you know, despite, you know, whether they're an industrial agriculture farmer or not, do you see that there's lessons to be learned from these older farmers? And do you think that relationship is an important thing to foster?
Oh, most certainly. I'd say it's one of the most important things with respect to the transition of farming. And I myself have reached out to older farmers, whether it be actually going out and experiencing the methods that are used by an older, more experienced farmer, or whether it be going to farmers markets and asking just simple gardening questions to the older farmers that have their stands at the markets. There's a lot of ways that young people can kind of go about filling in the gaps in their knowledge of farming, or learning other techniques by just going and trying to avidly create a conversation and a dialogue with older farmers. And I think that ultimately it's really the responsibility of the young farmer, if they are dedicated to wanting to learn the craft of farming, to go out and talk to the older generation who has experienced it.
What makes your experience at Feeding, you know, what are you and Feeding Crane Farms doing to support, you know, young farmers and student leaders in the food movement? What you know, if anything specifically?
Sure. The first thing being, we actually in a small town called Winters here in Yolo County, where Davis is located, there's a program called the Center for Land-Based Learning, And it's run by an older almond farmer by the name of Craig McNamire. And that is actually kind of a what they call a young farmer incubation program, where they basically have a kind of a class of 20 to 30 young farmers come in for about 9 months or kind of, so they see the transition of seasons, and they have one full growing season during the spring, summer season. And we kind of work a little bit hand in hand with them. Right now we're planning out building hedgerows around our farm with some of the students over in that program. We also have another program at American River College, one of the community colleges in Sacramento, where they have a horticulture program, and we have an active internship program with them where we have students from that program come out and work on the farm, getting paid, learning, you know, basic procedures on farming that they can take back with them and kind of decide whether or not, after experiencing agriculture on the scale that we're doing it, decide whether or not it's really something that they're suited for and something that they're interested in. And at that point, you know, as a farm, we hire a lot of young people. We really are avid about, the owner of my farm, Brian Chad, you know, he's really, really wonderful person with respect to offering these kinds of opportunities to young people. I myself am a really young person, and I have this wonderful opportunity to be able to manage a farm, and all of the employees working under me are all really young people and have a voice in kind of the overall progression of the farm. And so we really do foster opportunity for young people in the community to be able to come out and work on a farm.
Do you feel like agriculture and the food movement is a place for young people to get engaged with larger issues?
I think it definitely is. You know, it depends on what the issue is that people are concerned about, but with respect to food and with respect to the way that food affects us culturally or politically or biologically, you know, coming and working out on a farm can teach you a lot about the overall kind of food dynamic of the United States. And I mean, we are involved in a kind of jumpstart program that the Sacramento region is kind of advocating, called the Farm to Fork movement, where Sacramento is kind of trying to be at the forefront of this direct relationship between farmers and restaurateurs, or farmers and chefs, where chefs come out to farms, local small-scale organic farms, and kind of have direct dialogue with the farmers. You know, as farmers, we'll grow something that's kind of an unusual crop, like purple okra, or kind of, you know, spring onions, or something that's unusual that you would be able to find in some kind of mass produce delivery company. And we'll challenge the chef to cook with this ingredient, and the chef will come out and tell us of this niche heirloom variety of pepper that they've been looking for everywhere and they can't find it, and they'll challenge us to grow that pepper. And so we kind of have a direct dialogue with the chef, and through our communication, we're able to kind of both better each other's businesses and also kind of find niche markets for each other. And, you know, that's the reason I bring up that that kind of program here in Sacramento, the Farm to Fork movement, is that that's kind of a food advocacy program that we're looking at doing here. We're looking at kind of cutting out the middleman that stands between the farmer and the restaurateur, and instead making the dialogue of food more of a direct transaction between producer and consumer.
Absolutely. I mean, I've always been a firm believer that if I'm going to go pay for food, or as a chef, if I'm going to prepare food for a paying customer, that it better be the best product that I can find and be prepared in the most thoughtful and technically proficient way. Because,
definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if not, then we're all wasting our time. So, you know, for this summer, do you have one specific goal, you know, before the school season starts back, before you have to kind of cut back your hours again? Do you have a specific goal for this summer? Like, you want to?
Yeah, well, Well, I mean, what I would say is that this summer has provided for me the first real opportunity to manage production on a full scale farm. And so, what I'm trying to do is make our operation as successful as possible, and to, when I make mistakes, learn from my mistakes, and when I have successes, document my successes, and continue to, as a farmer and as a student, learn what processes make a farm successful and functional.
Fantastic. Kelsey, thanks so much for talking to us. Thanks so much for being a student leader out there, pushing the food movement forward. And, you know, maybe at the end of this summer we can check back in and get an uptake from Feeding Cranes Farm and see how Sacramento, California young farmers are doing.
All right. Well, thank you a lot, Eddie.
Thanks so much, Kelsey.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.